Good morning.
Good morning,
sir. Good morning, sir. Originally, I had asked Jim to give a talk today about research and related material having to do with consciousness and meditation. Jim mentioned that he thought it might be a better idea, given that Lori's mom just died and Bill's mom just died, that might be a better idea if I say a few words. So I thought that was actually a good idea. So that's the reason for the change in circumstance. Maizumi Roshi used to always say that practice is a matter of life and death. And this is true because we exist in a universe that is constantly changing. And really, the only thing we can rely upon is this moment. There are no guarantees of a next moment, and we can't assume that we can sit tomorrow. This is why we say in Zen, if not now, when? And the truth of these words is practical and unsentimental. It's what we mean when we say we should sit as if our hair is on fire, or we are sitting on the edge of a cliff with that kind of attention. Don't waste that moment. Presiding over the funeral of a student, a Zen master turns to the Sangha and stands in silence. And after several minutes, the old teacher shouts from his belly, "Who will be next? I eat at Whole Foods. I run 5 times a week, go to the gym another 2 days." That's no guarantee what will happen in the next moment. It can't be controlled. So there's just this moment, which is extremely precious. I bought a bouquet of flowers at Whole Foods, actually, and chrysanthemums, and I cut off some of the flowers and put them in a little vase on my altar at home. And I didn't really give it much thought other than to have flowers on the altar. But as the next week transpired, I noticed the subtle changes that took place in the flowers. Each day they were slightly different than the day before. And eventually, despite being placed in water saturated with plant food, they began to wilt. And then after that week or so, the flowers began to dry and drop their petals. So if I sit with this experience, literally sit with this experience right before me, I see that the coming and going of these flowers is just another expression of an impermanent universe, a universe that is constantly changing. In fact, the day after the petals began to fall onto the altar, when this happened, I was still working. And I got in my car to go to work. And just like this morning, the same thing happened. The road that I usually take was closed for repair. Now, impermanence is not, I really want to stress this, it's not a philosophical idea. It is a fact, and it applies to our everyday life. We have no idea, no way of knowing when we will find the road closed. This incredible experience of being alive is temporary. And at the end, without celebration, as Basho reminds us, like dewdrops on a lotus leaf, we vanish. It's really quite simple. Each dewdrop can be seen as an individual existence. And the dewdrop does not experience existential angst because of its temporal existence. It exists fully as a dewdrop until it's not. One of the Four Noble Truths states that life is suffering. And one of the main reasons that we suffer is because of our inability to accept things as they are. Things as they are impermanent. Because of this difficulty in accepting things as they are, we live with fear and anxiety that the rug is going to be pulled out from under us. The life that we have constructed in our mind will drop away, and we will have nothing to hold on to. But the truth is that if we can accept impermanence, we become totally free. Free to live fully in each moment, not worrying what's going to happen in the next. What is required is to surrender to the present moment and to not knowing. Not knowing what happens next. And I think our desire to cling to knowing, to look for predictability, is really a desire to control, to be secure. But eventually, as our sitting ripens, we come to see that it is because things are impermanent that they are so precious and so beautiful. You know, if you live, or we live our lives like we do not know what's going to happen in the next moment, and I can feel in my bones how precious this moment is. We don't know what's next. How can we waste this moment? At the very same time that I say this, it's also true that it's hard to let go of our attachments, especially to family and friends. As a social being, it is biologically natural to form emotional attachments to other people. In fact, there's a whole psychological field of study devoted to attachment, what's called attachment behavior. So to create an attachment in that way is normal and natural. Yet at the same time, from the perspective of Buddha's insight, we are required to accept the limitations of that attachment. In the end, our practice teaches us to accept and work with each moment as it arises, from a place of not knowing, just accepting things as they are and doing the best we can with the ingredients that arise. And it doesn't mean that impermanence doesn't cause pain or that we shouldn't grieve our losses. It means that if we truly accept the fact of impermanence, we will live in harmony with things coming and going, and as a result, respond more clearly and more directly. Right? So if we're living in harmony with impermanence, how can we not grieve? In this moment, there is dead. And of course, I shed tears, and my heart is broken. But that's not discordant with impermanence. It's in harmony with impermanence. Zen is not the business of creating robots, even though the fact of life is very simple. We live and we die. But we are also human. And as human beings who live in harmony with impermanence, we grieve. We get angry, we cry, all of that is normal. I've told you the story before about Bernie Glassman, who was married to Jishu, who suddenly died of a heart attack. And about 6 months after her death, one of his students went to Daisan to see him. And for decades, Bernie has talked and, you know, preached the faith about impermanence, right? You're here today and gone tomorrow. Simple as that. And as his student was sitting there with him, she noticed there were tears rolling down his cheek. And she asked him, "Roshi, why are you crying?" And he said, "Because my wife has died." And the student was confused and said, "But all these years you've been teaching us that things are impermanent. Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I miss her terribly." That's living in harmony with impermanence. It's not the non-acceptance of him. He's accepted she's died, but he has feelings about it. Dewdrops on a summer morning. Looking carefully, we see how beautiful. And the sun comes up, and soon they are gone. I'm laughing because I didn't really get to complete this talk, and I thought I had notes on something that I wanted to mention. And also I have a little box here with a haiku that I wrote in it, which I don't know if it really fits or not, but the haiku is, through the door I view the empty hospital bed. This morning, she's gone. But the notes were, and I suggest that you try this. There's the part of the Heart Sutra, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha. And it means something like gone, gone, gone beyond. Gone beyond all suffering. Gone beyond all attachment. And it reminded me of, in the chapter by Pat Enkyo O'Hara, watching the little paper boats drift down the river with the candles in them. And eventually they're gone. And so I went on YouTube, and I guess you wouldn't say Googled it, but I put in Gate Gate. And there were some extraordinary versions of that worship. Just Gate Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha. Done by choirs, with accompanied by instruments, done by a woman whose name I don't remember, and a guitar player. But it gave and if I could sing, I would sing it to you. Because normally we do it as a chant, Gate, Gate, Para, which is in itself beautiful. But there was something in the context of death and dying in the chapter with Pat Enkyo O'Hara that made this chant, these words as a song, so beautiful and so touching. And then, of course, there's the Evening Gatha, which we know so well. Let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time passes swiftly by and opportunity is lost. Each of us should strive to awaken, awaken. Take heed, do not squander your life.